Okay, we're going to start recording. Yeah, if we can get a couple more chairs, we got some next door.
Yes, hallelujah.
And we are going to be in Revelation chapter 9, so please take your Bibles here. Here we go. John, you might hear them. Revelation chapter 9.
We're going to be watching you, Kathleen.
And we are in the midst of, well, past the middle point of the trumpet, and all of you always like to ask, what is the chronological place we find ourselves? And by the time we finish chapter 9 and go into chapter 10, that will be about the midway point of the tribulation period. So you can put that up. So at the end of chapter 9, we will find ourselves halfway, chronologically halfway through the 7-year tribulation period. And in chapter 10 and chapter 11, most of chapter 11, will be another one of those parentheses, which will give us information that we need to have before the seventh trumpet is blown. Okay, so let's look at what's going to transpire as we move toward that halfway point. Now, remember, we've already had the seven seals that have been broken. We've had four of the trumpets that have been blown. We have the fifth one at the beginning of this chapter. And this is the literally the second series of judgments that God is pouring out upon the earth. There are three series, the seals, the trumpets, and then the bowls or the vials will be poured out. And so the first four trumpets, you notice they're very short when they describe what was going to happen. We move into the fifth trumpet, and we're going to get a lot longer detail of what's going to take place, and the sixth trumpet also. All right, so here we are, the fifth trumpet, and let's see what it says. It says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit." Where else in the Bible do you find a star that has fallen from heaven?
Satan.
Huh?
Satan.
It is Satan. It is Lucifer.
Ezekiel.
It is actually in Isaiah chapter 14. Ezekiel has a description of Satan. You'll be reading that. I think you read that tomorrow in your readings. He likens the king of Tyre to Satan.
I thought it was today.
I think it's tomorrow, unless you're
dead. I might have read ahead then.
You probably did. But in Isaiah chapter 14, it says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, star of the morning," or sun of the morning. And the word Lucifer means shining one. Okay. So it's a name, it's a description of who he is. He is one of the few angels that's ever even named in the Bible. Name some angels for him.
Gabriel.
Michael.
Chip.
That's Chip. I remember Chip.
That's it.
And Lucifer. Those actually are the three angels that are ever named in the Bible. Now, there are some religious traditions that name many more, like Raphael and all these kind of guys and stuff. I don't know where they get them at, but they do name them. And notice that all the angels that are named are male. Now, they're not male in the same way that we understand male, because remember, angels do not procreate. The other thing is I've told you before that all three of these angels are mighty angels. There's no doubt about it. But only one is ever called the archangel, the top angel, and his name is Michael. He's the only one. Gabriel is not an archangel. As far as we know, Lucifer was not an archangel either. Never called that in the Bible. But he is the shining one. And some people, you read Ezekiel, you'll read it tomorrow in your readings. I know everybody's keeping up with your readings, right?
Yes.
So you'll read that tomorrow, and what you'll find out is that I always say Ezekiel tells me that Lucifer was a music minister. You'll read it tomorrow, and then you'll get my joke.
Okay? I think we're there.
Okay. So we have this fifth angel. The star falls from heaven. Is this Lucifer? It certainly could be, because what's going to happen is the authority that's given to him to do something, it would take someone with great authority to do, and that is to open up the bottomless pit. Now, what is the bottomless pit?
Hades.
It is actually is not Hades, nor is it hell, but it is. But Peter uses the term in his Tartarus. I guess I might have said that wrong, but Tartarus, and it literally is the pit. And what it is where we would say Hades is the holding place, if you will, of the unsaved dead. The pit is the holding place of angels, or the fallen angels that have been consigned to that place. They too are awaiting their day of judgment. And by the way, they're waiting for this release that's going to happen right here. So all the demons, here's the truth that you read scripture, all the truth of is all the demons that have fallen are not just roaming the earth right now. There are some that are roaming the earth, for sure. But all of them are not, because some of them are held until that pit is open. John?
I read that the pit, so in the old world, you know, when they came down and mingled with man, you know, got after the women, actually, you know. And so they started making the Nephilim.
The Nephilim, yeah.
And stuff like that. So, you know, some tradition says that those angels were, you know, thrown because they went beyond what they knew was the boundaries.
Yeah, there are many that hold that those are, yeah, many of them that are in there. But there's also, you remember when Jesus cast the demons out of the demoniac in Gadarene?
Mm-hmm.
And remember what they begged him? Don't send us to the pit.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Oh. Don't send us to the pit. Yeah. That's what they were begging him.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what they were referring to. They weren't referring to hell, and they weren't referring to Hades. Hades is for humans. But then what they were referring to is the pit, and which is that holding place for these angels that didn't keep their first estate. You know, but again, we clearly know that there are demons on the earth. Well, I say clearly, it seems like the church has become too sophisticated to believe that there are demons on the earth. But there are demons on the earth, and they are roaming, and they're destroying, they do what they do, but not all of them are. Some of them are held in this place called the pit.
So
some of them might find that, if I should have done it, I'm sorry. You find a reference in one of Peter's letters to this.
Second
let
Peter.
Us know.
And also, the pit is mentioned two or three times in Ezekiel, whatever I read, either that or Jeremiah, either today's or tomorrow's reading. But I saw the pit mentioned three times.
Yeah.
I have to look at it again.
And it's a little bit, the pit is different, and which is interesting to know. It has to do with the fallen heavenly beings, okay? Not with human beings. And will the pit be empty? The day will come when it'll be empty, because all, both heavenly beings and earthly beings that have rejected God and rebelled against God will spend eternity in hell. The truth is, there's nobody in hell right now. Humans, all of unbelieving humans are in Hades. And we'll see later on where it says that Hades gave up its dead, and Hades and those dead were cast in the lake of fire. The lake of fire literally is eternal hell.
Yeah.
Now, some of your translations will even call Hades hell, but it's not. Yes, Kathy.
But those that are in Hades, they know what's ahead.
Oh, they do.
So they're miserable.
Oh, they are. Yeah, remember he said, he talked about the rich man said, my tongue is burning in this place.
Yes.
And he begged. He just, think about how much it had to be burning for you to beg for someone to take their finger, dip it in water, and just touch your tongue to give you that much relief for a nanosecond. And that's what he did. So he was in torment. And Hades is a place of torment, but it is not the eternal place of torment.
Is that where Jesus went?
No, Jesus went to the place of the Sheol. The term Sheol means grave or the place of the dead. Jesus told us that in the Old Testament time, it contained Hades, where the unrighteous dead were, and it contained paradise or Abraham's bosom. Okay, remember there was this cavern So Lazarus died and he went to Abraham's bosom or paradise. What did Jesus say to the to the man on the cross, today you'll be with me where?
Paradise.
Paradise. It's in Hades. He said in paradise. But there is no more paradise, because when Jesus rose from the dead, he released those who were in paradise. So why were they in paradise? They were waiting for one event to happen. One event to happen. No one could rise from the dead until, first of all, Jesus rose from the dead. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he released, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, he released the captives. Well, who were the captives? Those who were waiting for his resurrection. So now we have to be absent from the body for the believer is to be present with the Lord.
Yes.
Okay. But those who die without Christ still go to Hades, yes, waiting for what?
Judgment.
The great white throne judgment. That's right.
Amen. Hey. Well, since Brother John brought it up, may I ask, so in Genesis chapter 6, did some angels go ahead?
There are those who hold that view, and I don't think it's an illegitimate view. I'm not sure. I can't tell you I'm sure, but I don't think it's an illegitimate view. There are a lot of good scholars that believe that's exactly what happened.
The angels came down and had
the angels. Okay. So
Gehenna, real quick, is that another
Gehenna
word?
Gehenna is another word. Gehenna literally is a valley outside the city of Jerusalem. Gehenna literally was in Jesus's time. In Jesus's time, you'll hear. In the Old Testament, you'll see the valley called Hinnom. Hinnom is where they set up the god Molech.
Oh, yeah.
And they sacrificed their children. Like Molech was built, he was this god who was built up, and he had arms of iron. And they would put fire within his belly, and it would heat up his arms to a red coat, and they would take their babies and lay them on their arms and sacrifice their babies. That was Hinnom, the valley of Hinnom. It's one of the seven valleys that surround Jerusalem. Well, in Jesus's time, Hinnom was called Gehenna, and Gehenna was a garbage dump. Now, he used that term because they understood. How many of you have ever been down 87? I know you've been down 87.
Yeah, yeah.
There are sometimes you drive down to 87, and boy, you'll get a whiff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You also maybe will notice there are two flames burning all the time.
Yeah.
By the garbage dump,
yeah.
One a rather large one and one a smaller one.
Yeah.
Well, what are those flames burning? Where are they getting the gas to do them? Well, that's methane gas,
yeah,
that is being created by combustion and heat that happens as that garbage begins to decompose by the heat.
Right.
Well, suppose the Native Americans that own that or any other garbage dump, that whoever owns those, did not allow for the release of that methane gas to be burned as you see it. Something like, why are they wasting all that? It's burning it for a good reason. Okay. So suppose they didn't do that.
Boom.
Well, the answer would be that whole place would be on fire.
Yeah.
It would combust. It would catch on fire. That's Gehenna. That's why Jesus talked about the fire that's never quenched. That's what he talked about, and he used Gehenna many times in the illustration of hell.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So this was lower than hell.
What?
The pit. It was lower than hell itself.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't know the height of either one of them.
No, I mean, as far as looking at a flow chart, I mean.
Oh, the abyss is the pit.
Right.
The abyss is the pit. What we're talking about now, it is the pit. And for a demon, a fallen demon, I don't know how to say it, but it would be much like Hades is for a fallen human.
Well, that was addressed in Ezekiel 2 today when God's anger was so severe, and he mentioned Ben-Hinnom, where
yeah.
Molech.
Yeah, he did.
He was just
today's,
running down.
You got today's reading right. So he did mention, he did, he said, my anger has been aroused because
yes.
You would do such a horrible. He and listen, this look, God's verbiage in your reading today is amazing. When he says, he said, this would never even cross my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Think about that. God saying that this would never even cross my mind that human beings could be so evil as to take their precious innocent babies,
yeah,
and sacrifice
yeah.
them all that
never crosses mind.
Yeah.
Everything crosses the
you really let loose.
That, yeah, in the United States, it happens close to 3,000 times a day, folks.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah.
60 million.
The most innocent. The most innocent.
Mm-hmm.
I read something from a former football player, and he talked about, I forget what his name, 82. I can't remember the name, but I remember the number. So anyway, he's a Christian man, and he just retired recently, and he stands really strong for pro-life stuff. And he wrote a wonderful thing yesterday. He said, you just got to get in your mind is some people who have this evil thought that the children have no right to exist, so it's okay to eliminate them in the womb of their mother. He said, which of us have to prove our right to exist? Which of us humans have to prove our right to exist? And don't we become very angry at someone who tells us, because of some category, you have to prove your right to exist. Anyway, so let's get back in what he says here. So we have this star that falls from heaven. The star is clearly an angel. And it's not the first time angels have been called stars. Okay. And remember, the word angel means messenger. Context tells you several things. It tells you whether you're talking about a godly messenger, an evil messenger, or a human messenger. The word angel is used for all three of them. Okay, in the New Testament particularly, right? So this fallen star from heaven to the earth. Again, cast down. By the way, in Revelation chapter 12, you'll talk about Satan finally being cast down to the earth. We'll get there. Next 3 months or so, who knows?
Right. So you're being optimistic.
So, yeah. So, and no way here. To him was given the key to the bottom of the pit. Here's what you have to understand. First of all, God is sovereign.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And even if this is Lucifer or Satan or the devil or whatever you want to call it, even if this star that comes out from him is given, he can do nothing. He can do nothing. It was given to him the key to the pit. Who do you think has the key to the pit? The word key is used not only here, but you remember it was used when Jesus was talking to his own disciples, particularly we talked about Peter. And that's exactly what he says. He said, after Peter gives that wonderful profession of who Christ is, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then remember, Jesus did not credit Peter with coming up with that answer. He said, but you're blessed, Peter, because heaven itself has revealed this to you. And then he said, and I give to you, not to Peter, to all of his followers, the key to the kingdoms of heaven. You know what the key to the kingdom of heaven is? Very simple. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And you have been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, which means you have the authority in Christ Jesus to open up heaven to somebody. Pretty incredible when you think
Amen.
About it. You think about that.
Oh, it's...
And the only key that there is, the only key that fits the door is the gospel. There's no other key that will fit the door. Okay, now we have another key. Someone had to give even this fallen angel or this star that comes from heaven the authority to, first of all, give them the key and the authority to the pit. Yeah. Who would give them the authority? Well, it's God. God's in complete control here. Don't ever miss that. Even when we come to here, it's not Satan that's in control. God's in control. Now, this probably offends you about God a little bit. when you read Revelation, you say, that's not the God I keep. Everybody tells me he's a God of love. And he is a God of love. But I remind you, he is a God who is perfectly everything that he is. You can't know the love of God without knowing the holiness of God, the justice of God, the judgment of God. All those things are who he is. One does not exist without the other in who he is. Okay? If you think about Jesus' death upon the cross, Why? In order that God's righteous requirement for holiness and justice be met. And the bottom line is this: either Jesus has met that for you, or you'll stand in judgment of God because you can't meet it for yourselves. That's an impossibility. So God is not. People say this. I'm your precept. Well, God was a God of wrath in the Old Testament. He's a God of grace and mercy in the New Testament. No, God is a grace and mercy always. And by the way, as reading through the Old Testament, as hard as it is sometimes, if you don't see the grace and mercy of God so many times over in that, then you're missing something.
Yep, you are.
You are. But you also see the justice of God and the judgment of God. And you also see the time when God finally said to Judah, where we're at right now, no more. What did he tell Jeremiah? Don't cry anymore. Yep. Yep. Don't pray anymore.
Don't weep anymore. No, no,
it's over. The judgment is coming. It's done. But yet again today, when you saw the promise of the captivity of Zedekiah and the fall of Jerusalem, the next few verses said, but God says, I promise you, I'm going to bring you back to the land. I promise you, it'll be okay one day. And I also promise you that a king will come, a proper king of the line of David, and he will rule, and he will change everything. So you see, even in the midst of the judgment of God, you see the grace and the mercy of God. David.
Well, just, may I please comment real quick?
Yeah, sure.
This love and justice thing, by the grace of God, I had the opportunity to train on the exercise of lethal force by a police officer to shoot with lethal force to apprehend a fleeing, life-threatened felon, okay? And in the midst of that training, early on, I said the statement, I was kind of made fun of it in the first part, but then as I explained it, people understood it. I says, you can shoot somebody in love. Wow. But if you think of love as commitment, God's loyal commitment to the human race, and specifically then to those who respond to him in faith, God's commitment. When I shoot to apprehend a life-threatening felon, I'm committed to all of you sitting in this room. I'm committed to your peace, your safety, your security. And I'm committed. I said, by the grace of God, never had to do that in my career, but I often role played it in my mind. And I often, I don't know if that's really true, but I remember praying at least once or a couple times that if I was put in that situation, that God would allow the person to live long enough that I could go up to him or her, and usually him, but go up to him and tell him about Jesus as he was taking his last breaths. You see what I'm saying? So maybe I did early on, but I never saw this dichotomy between love and justice. I just never saw it. It's love is commitment, loyal commitment to the needs of us. And we have justice needs, you know, right? So that, yeah. Thank you for letting me say
that. It's a great balance. And again, I would say to you, one doesn't exist without the other. Now, how that plays out is not, I want to say, it's not God's fault. It's because of our rebellion. It's because of our rejection. It's because of the evil that we allow to be in our life. And again, James tells us we can't blame God for those things. They come from him. They come out of us. All right, let's go on. So with the key, look at what he does. And he opened the bottomless pit, verse 2, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. There are those who would like to make this nothing again but a metaphor about heaven, hell, all this kind of stuff. I'm here to tell you, and you can believe it or you not believe it, it's up to you. This is a literal place, the literal pit. When he opens that pit, the heat's going to come up out of it. Okay? Now, again, what John will do for us is John is going to try to describe, think about this, if this was you on that aisle, John is going to try to describe for us the best way he can what is literally going to happen. Not figuratively going to happen, but what is literally going to happen. So as much as I believe there is a literal heaven and a literal hell, a literal Hades, I believe there's a literal pit or abyss. Okay? And that's what John is talking about here.
And this angel had the keys.
And I believe that this is a literal angel, and I believe the key thing, I think the key thing is a word picture. Okay. It is he could not open the pit until God gave the authority. The key is the authority to do something. That's what it means. It is the authority to do something. Like Jesus said, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Well, you and I don't have keys in our pocket that have literally been given to us. But what it means is, like, think about carrying on to the Great Commission. Jesus said, All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Therefore, you
Amen.
Go and make disciples
Amen.
Of all people.
Amen.
That's the keys.
Amen.
Okay. Here, this fallen angel is allowed to open a pit to release what we're about to see be released. The key is the authority. The key is authority of God. By the way, in both these cases, in the gospel and open the pit.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So look at what comes out. It says, then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given the power as the scorpions of earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their forehead. Now let's deal with these first of all. What is clear is what he sees looks like what he's seen before. And what he has seen before is swarms of locusts. But what is also clear is what he is describing in the midst of describing are not locusts. But when you think about how locusts swarm and there's so many of them, you can't see them as individuals. You ever seen a swarm of locusts come at you?
They're not individual.
You know, it's just like it's just one big group. You can't tell how many there are, and you don't see individuals unless they decide to land somewhere. Okay. Now look at these creatures. And by the way, I say creature. Let me just be specific. These demons. They are demons. Okay. Look at what they are allowed to do. Once again, they cannot do more than the Lord allows him to do. You say, well, then God's at fault here. No, he's not. No, he's not. You know, when you ask for hell to be open, don't be surprised when hell's open. When you ask for demons to be in your life and in your world, don't be surprised when they come in your life and your world.
That's right.
Christians, quit opening the door and the windows of your life to the demonic.
Don't give them the key.
Yes.
Yeah, and don't be surprised if you open the door, they're going to come in.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Okay. Don't sacrifice your children.
Well said.
So these are
when you sacrifice your children, don't be surprised that they're sacrificed.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, you burn your children to Molech, then don't be surprised that they burn. I mean, sometimes we Christians are a little bit dense when it comes to this. You know, when we open our churches up to demonic doctrines, and Paul said doctrines of demons. Mm-hmm. And the doctrines contrary to God. Our churches are being open to this all the time. All the time. I got another, and it's so sweet, and it looks so good. Read one this morning about a church in my hometown of Chandler. Open and affirming. You know what that means?
Yeah.
It means that they open and they welcome anybody in any lifestyle. What it means to me is it is open. They open the windows of hell and ask hell to come in.
That's right. I mean, I'm sorry.
Don't be surprised.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't be surprised when you open the windows that the demons are going to come in. And so,
yeah.
So
yeah.
When we talk about this. These demons, the world has said, God, we don't need you. We don't want you. Matter of fact, we'd rather follow Satan. That's why he's called the prince of this world. They would rather follow Satan. Well, do you really want to follow Satan? Here's what it looks like. You know, not like this cute little picture that Satan gives of himself. And not every promise that Satan that he's for in your life. And your life will never be better. You'll never be freer than you are. If you'll just reject Jesus and you'll follow Satan, you'll have everything you ever want in your life. It's such a lie. It's such deception. Satan hates you.
Yes.
He literally hates you if you're a child of God.
Yes.
But he hates every human being. So
yeah,
it's just what it is. But he really hates you if you're a child of God.
Yeah.
He has nothing for the human being, the human creature. You know why he hates the human creature overall? Because we were created in the image of God.
Yes.
And he can't even stand that. But then once you are born again and you are a new creature in Christ, He really hates your guts.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but he hates humanity. Because humanity, go back to the beginning, because humanity was created in the image of God. And who did he come against first? The first two humans.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did.
right off
the bat, he came at him and stuff. And his their willingness to listen to him and follow him touched not only them, but it's touched all of us. We're still dealing with that. John?
Real quickly, for the layman here. So it says that... you know, you couldn't touch the grass and the trees and stuff, and you couldn't touch, you know, God's people if they were marked,
yeah.
But only the ones not marked. So I don't understand completely, but tradition says that the church is raptured, and he's talking about the remnant left.
Well, more than tradition, the Bible said that.
Well, you know.
So let me deal with it. Let me get there. I will do it. Okay. So. Again, notice the limitation that God puts upon them. Notice that, again, I just got to say, humanity is getting what they've asked for. Can't blame God. They're getting what they've asked for. And again, they certainly have asked for either deception or ignorance or even apathy. They don't care. Okay? But they've asked for it, and so now God's going to give them what they've asked for or allow them to receive what they've asked for. And so, again, let's look at verse 3. These interesting creatures, these demons, they had the power of scorpions. Now, what is the power of a scorpion? Where do you find the power of a scorpion? It's in the tail.
Yep.
It's in the sting. Anybody stepped on a scorpion besides me around here? The little ones, they're nasty little creatures.
They're nasty is right.
So they burn. That burns. Yes. I mean, it really burns. But anyway, yes. Be careful. Don't step on a scorpion. You don't want
to
do that.
I learned to put my glasses on I pick up all those little pieces of dust.
You can't. It don't matter. I saw this picture yesterday. It was someone that left their boots or shoes outside the front door and stuff. Curled up there with a rattlesnake.
So
be careful.
Funny.
Great sound effects, though.
Yeah, I know. I mean, get the whole group going. Okay. So... they're just clearly these are not what we've called normal locusts. The locust thing again speaks of the magnitude, the massive release of these demons, and how they move was just like scorpions would move upon the locusts would move upon the land. Yet they had a sting about them, a power about them that they went and they tormented people with. And we read on about this, getting back to what John said. And first of all, they were commanded, they're not locusts. Why? What are locusts concerned with?
Don't eat.
Grass and trees.
Yeah.
Everybody live where locusts have finished up? Well, they're nasty, aren't they? They can clean a tree off of its leaves very quickly, and the grass and everything. Continent Africa, they've had swarms of locusts that were
miles
and miles.
Yeah.
And when they finished moving through an area, there was nothing left. There was nothing.
This can be anywhere between 30 feet and 90 feet in height.
Yes.
And they're not small. They're like the size of my thumb.
Oh, yeah.
They're big.
I mean, you can eat them if you want to. They're kosher.
They're fried, baby.
So anyway, so we're going to put that in our gravy tomorrow. So notice here again, even this little phrase that he used here, locusts are going to do what? They're going to do what locusts do. They're going to eat the grass. They're going to eat the grass. So they're not locusts. Okay. But then he goes on to say this. He said, but only those men. So these demons or these creatures are focused on humans. That's their focus. Which, by the way, has always been the focus of demons.
Oh,
even if you go back to what you referred to earlier, Genesis chapter 6, when if those were fallen angels and stuff that did that, what were they focused on? Well, not just some of that. Well, they're focused on women. No, they were focused on contaminating the human line to the place where you say, why would they want to contaminate the human line? If these were fallen angels, why would
Christ?
And the answer is Jesus.
Yeah.
Have you not learned yet? Have we not? Why is he makes this distinction between the line of Adam and the line of Cain?
Mm-hmm.
Why does he make that distinction? It's not just he's trying to slam Cain or anything. He's trying to help us understand that from the very beginning, what did God say to the woman? It will be your seed. It will be your seed. Now, if you can destroy that seed of the woman, if you could, then there could be possibly no seed that comes from them.
Yeah.
See, that Satan has always been at work attacking humanity, because the promise of God for Messiah would be that he would be of the seed of the woman. He literally would be human. Now, if you could destroy the human, think about the impact of that. And he's tried,
yeah.
You know. And when he could not destroy a line, then he tried to destroy the whole group.
Right.
How many times did he try to destroy the Jewish people? Why the Jewish people? And the answer, once again, is because of the promise of God. If I remember Haman, what was Haman's decree? Every Jew will be slaughtered. Every Jew will be slaughtered. You see, we think Hitler was the first one that said that. Well, he wasn't. Okay. And you have to ask, who is the force behind such evil? That you would want to do genocide on a whole ethnic group of people. And then why? Why them? Why not another group? And the answer is, it's in the scripture. It's in the scripture. What do you think? The temptations that Satan had the audacity to even bring against Jesus.
Yes.
To mess up everything. That's what he does. Once Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says he is defeated. It's done. So he knows it's done. He can't stop that.
He knows it, yeah.
But he certainly can destroy lives, destroy families, destroy marriages, destroy churches, destroy nations. And he can distract Christians who open that door to him and let him have an influence in our life that he should never have, and keep us from fulfilling what God has called us to do and be. Everybody get what I just said on that whole thing?
I hope so.
So we move on now, and let's see. Their focus is humans, okay? Because they hate them. But notice here, God has a protection. On who? On those who have the seal of God upon them. Now, so far, in a chronological sense, or in the background sense, who do we know that have had the seal of God upon their head? So far, we only know specifically 144,000. But to answer John's question, I don't believe that this just refers to the 144,000. I believe this refers to anybody that in this first period, through the 144,000, have put their faith in Christ, that they are sealed with God. Now, that again, that doesn't mean they won't be martyred. We know they will be. But at this point, when these demons come out, these demons cannot touch the children of God. I believe that sincerely. They cannot touch the children of God at this point.
In
the same way, I would say to you, the demons can't touch you, and Satan cannot touch you unless you open that door to him.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
Yes, yeah. Real quick question. Assuming the rapture has happened, then these who are being attacked or could be attacked by the locusts and the demons, they are the ones who have come to Jesus after we, the church, have been raptured.
Right. Okay. I call them tribulation saints.
Okay, very good.
So they're born again and have come to Jesus. I believe the church is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe 144,000, as we talked about, have been raised up of God to be the evangelists in this day and time. And the greatest revival the world will ever see hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
And there will be literally tens of millions who will come to faith in Jesus Christ in this first half.
Good.
But again, all that's promised them is martyrdom.
Mm-hmm.
But also what's promised them, I believe you see it right here, is a protective hand of God against Satan himself and against the demons.
Yeah.
Yes, again, absolutely.
We know what the mark of the beast is. So you can trade and long. What's the seal?
Well, if you read Jenkins' books, it's a little cross that shows up on the first mouth. Yeah. Right. I think that the seal of God is Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you say, well, how will they know? Good question. The same way, guys who are with me on Wednesday morning, what did we read last Wednesday morning? Remember the sons of Sceva? You know what I'm talking about? Come on, guys. The biscuits were so good, you forgot what we talked about. All right. So what happened there? Remember in the book of Acts, remember they saw Paul casting out demons.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah. Yes.
And they said, hey, this is pretty cool stuff. So this whole group of guys decide, hey, we're going to do this too. And so they went up to this guy who was demon possessed. They said, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, we cast you out.
Yes.
Yes. And those demons all looked at him and laughed at him. And here's what he said. Listen to what the demons said to him. Said, Paul, Jesus we know.
You we know.
And Paul we know. But we don't have any idea who you are.
We don't even know you.
Seal of God. Even the demons, we talked about that last Wednesday. I know you were here. Even the demons in hell know who belong to God.
So the demons will know.
Oh, yeah. That's why they can't touch them.
Just like,
just like there. Those demons knew that those men were trying to use an authority that didn't belong to them.
You, I don't know.
And they said, we don't even know who you are. And you know what they did next? They beat them up. They stripped them of their clothes and they chased them across the countryside. What a shot. That's like a Monty Python movie.
Sure. Their power was to hurt men 5 months.
Right.
Why did clarification that the term men, does that refer to men, women, and children?
Yes, it does. Okay. It's a mankind. It's a more of a mankind than just males.
Because some people could read that.
Right, of course, yes.
And then what's the significance of the 5 months?
It's just a limited time that it gave them to torment.
They have to get to the next.
I think this 5 months brings us to the halfway point.
Is it some areas of the Bible, 1 year is like 1,000 years?
Yeah.
Is a month actually a 30-day period?
Right. Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, during this time, we go back to biblical time, keep Old Testament time, every month is 30 days. It's not like our American calendar, the Gregorian calendar.
Okay.
So even when you read, we talk about this when you study Daniel. Daniel set up on the what's called the lunar calendar, which Israel used, which each month had 30 days. It answered the question why Easter jumped all over the place.
That's right.
Because Easter is always based on Passover.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And Passover's on the Jewish calendar. When, after Jesus died and Rome took over, we were put on the Gregorian calendar. Mm-hmm. And every 4 years, we've got to make up a whole day. That's when we have leap year. See, when man starts messing with time, they mess up everything.
Very true. A hypothetical question, maybe. Suppose that we're into the tribulation and people have accepted the mark of the beast so that they can buy and sell. And then they come to saving Jesus. Will the mark of the beast disappear and they'll have just the mark of God? Now, like I said, this is a hypothetical question.
That one's for your daughter. Yeah. The legal.
Well, that may be.
That is a good question. There, it depends who you read. Some would say, no, you received the mark of the beast and you're doomed.
You're done.
And that seems to be what he says here. When we get there, you're going to. So I can't. Every time I teach that, I say, God's mercy greater than that. I believe it is. But I'm not going to step beyond what the scripture actually says.
No.
And what it says is, if you receive the mark of the beast, then you are doomed.
Point of no return.
So we'll get there when we get there. But yeah.
Okay.
But it's a great question because, again, if you read the Left Behind books and stuff, which again are novels, but he allows for that.
Okay.
He allows for that in those books.
Allows for that.
He allows for even people who take the mark of the beast, if they come to Christ, it'll. But who knows what the mark of the beast can be interesting. But anyways, we'll get there. Maybe.
when the 120,000 Jews are there left behind to help those come to God.
144,000. And they're not left behind. Okay? For the most part, all Jewish people will be here. Let's say the rapture happens at the beginning of tribulation. Most Jewish people, I know some born again Jews, okay, Jewish people, but most of them, including the nation of Israel, will be left here because the only ones that will be raptured are those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Okay.
But then you'll have a movement of the Holy Spirit clearly upon 144,000 who will come to faith, and then God will use them, particularly, I think, during the first three and a half years.
But what about the mark of the beast that will be?
That's not even established yet.
Stay tuned. Okay. This is really brilliant stuff.
Well, I don't know how brilliant it is, but
it's the word.
It's a good question. It's called scripture, David.
Yeah.
All right. And it is brilliant. All right. So we're ready to move on. We've got about 5 minutes. Here we go. I was going to get through the whole chapter today. Okay. All right. So goes on to say, but those both men do not have the mark of God, verse 5, and they were not given authority to kill them. So once again, they could not go beyond what God would allow at this time. And their purpose is not to kill humans. Their purpose is to torment. To torment humans. That's what he says here. But to torment them for 5 months. Again, the 5 month thing, I'm not sure. I think that is a 5 months specifically that he talks about here. And I think, my personal thing, is that 5 months will take us to the halfway point. Or maybe to the seventh trumpet. So you almost could say, how far are we in? You could say we're almost 3 years into the tribulation at the time of this, these demons coming out. About 3 years in tribulation. We have about 5 months to go till we get to the halfway point. By the way, if we are there are a lot of things going to happen in this last 6 months, 5 or 6 months, as we move toward the halfway point. Right. So not allowed to kill, but allowed to torment for 5 minutes. And they tormented, then their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Again, if you've been hit by a scorpion, it's a burning thing that you just, and there's no relief from it. I mean, just when it first hits you, there's just no relief from it. And you say, wow, how can something burn that bad?
What I read into this, that, and they keep stinging you. You keep, you know, it's not just one sting.
Right.
It's just over and
right.
over and
yeah,
over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yep.
They are tormenting and continual thing. So
it's not like you get your sting over with.
And look at look how bad the torment is. Look at verse 6. He said, and in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. And they will desire to die and death will flee from them.
Wow.
That's a pretty incredible little statement there. And you think about, oh, well, we know we could kill ourselves anytime we want to. Well, could a day come where God's not going to allow someone to take their own life?
Mm. Oh.
And the answer is yes.
What could that look like? I've seen read a lot of different things, guys who talked about this, you know, where a guy who would put a gun to their head and either it wouldn't fire or would fire, but it wouldn't kill them. But then you have all the damage that was done. I mean, just all kinds of, but who knows? But that really is a strong statement. These guys want to die, but God's not going to let it happen. There is no escape. Teresa?
I was just thinking as we read through this, just imagine, though, there are at least 144,000 that this is not affecting. So couldn't this be just God's way of one more time, trying to point it back to the truth.
Right. God has not stopped reaching people.
That's
a good point.
Outside of me, and this is what happens when you're with me. You know, just one more chance for maybe them to see that there is a mighty God.
Oh, I think you're right, because, again, a warning, this is not the worst. Because, before we get down to Revelation, you're just going to be tired. Some of you are already tired of Revelation. This thing's wearing me out. You know? This is not the worst. We haven't got to the worst yet. But you are right that, and we'll get to the point in Revelation where God will say, no more. But we're not to that point yet. We'll get to a verse later on where it'll say, remember we said the seven things to the church, let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There's a couple more verses where it says, let him rather hear what the Lord said. Not talking to the church anymore, just talking to humanity. We which is a call to humanity. Jim, go ahead.
Well, I agree with what Teresa is saying. That's right. The people that are going through this torment, they will see the people, the 144,000 are not.
Yeah.
What a convicting thing.
Plus all the others that have come to faith in,
yes,
in the first,
yes,
part of the tribulation.
Yeah, you're a rather good witness.
Yeah. Yep. All right, let's go on. So death will not be a possibility during this, at least this five-month period, which is kind of an incredible statement.
Yes.
It'll flee from them. Death will flee from them. Verse 7 says, and the shape, they're going to describe these demons to us, which will, again, tell you that they're not locusts. And the shape of these locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like that of the faces of men. The word crowns there is not diadem, as we talked about before, it's stephanos. Okay? So, a temporary crown, a victor's crown, if you will. They had hair like women's hair. So they had long hair. Ever seen a locust like this, have you? Wearing a crown with long hair.
Kind of like the band Kiss.
Yeah. And their teeth were like lion's teeth. So, by the way, locusts don't have teeth like that, of course. And they had breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. And again, when you see a swarm of locusts, can you imagine demons? And we're not talking about little bugs now. We're talking about demons. Okay. And they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men, again, he says, for 5 months. And they had a king over them. And we stopped right there.
Clearly the angel was not a good angel.
Yeah. And we stopped right there because I don't have time to talk about the king yet. We'll talk about him next week.
It's interesting.
Right, stay tuned.
The analogy of using scorpions, because back in Second Chronicles, he specifically said, I will discipline you with scorpions. And so they would know especially the Jewish people, if they had kept up with reading all along, they would know the scripture and know that that would.
And by the way, if they would have read the New Testament, they would have seen that for a believer, he had power to tread on scorpions.
Yes.
Yeah. So the scorpion is not a new creature here.
Where it says, and the worm dieth not. What does that mean?
The worm speaks of that which, that corruption, that and that it just speaks about that where when you think about the body being put in the grave and the deterioration of that body and the worms and stuff, what he's saying is that process will never stop. Death.
Corruption process.
The corruption process. In other words, we would say the body will corrupt and end up being dust or whatever like that. Okay. What Jesus is saying there when he said the worm will never die, that corruption process for someone that's contrary to God will never stop.
For someone who, what,
you said? That has rejected the Lord.
Oh. Okay.
So that corruption will never stop, whether we're talking about the burning or we're talking about the corruption of a body, or it's just not going to stop. Ooh. The torment goes on.
Maybe it meant the memory, your memory.
Your memory is going to be better than it ever was. That's the truth. The Bible says that in hell, they will know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They will know everything. That every time they rejected Christ, they will know everything about you. There will not be one person in hell that has not bent their knee and confessed with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is not just a confession that is being made to happen. course, it is being made, but it's not just being made to happen. It speaks of an awareness of the one that they've rejected their whole life and ultimately rejected for good. And then they will spend eternity knowing who he is. That's hell, apart from everything else.
That's the worm that dieth not food, isn't it? That they will remember.
Oh, it's all a part of it. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
It just doesn't stop. And by the way, that's the problem, that there are people who, and I think well-meaning Christians who want to believe in the annihilation of the soul.
Yeah.
That is,
yeah.
Maybe there's a suffering for a little bit, and then they just go off into nothing.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't teach that, unfortunately. It uses the same word for eternal life as it does for eternal punishment. The exact same word. And it's either eternal for both or it's eternal for neither.
How many use that as their
excuse? Yeah, I won't have to worry because I just won't be anymore. That's not true. The human soul is eternal once it's created. And it will spend eternity either with the Lord or spend eternity apart from the Lord. And there are no other places. And we have to stop there where we're talking.
I'm feeling bad. Can I say a closing prayer, please?
Yes,
okay,
of course.
Okay. All right. Dear God in heaven, we thank you so much for the privilege of hearing truth. And God, I know that you want us not just to intellectually process it, but you want us to apprehend it, Lord, to its deep meaning, so it's just real for us. So I pray, Holy Spirit, for your ministry and for each of the people in this room, that, Lord, that all of us, that we would apprehend what we've heard here this morning, and especially that point, Lord, about the keys of the kingdom of heaven, the privilege of sharing the gospel right now, that, Lord, that others could be assured of living with you forever instead of being separated from you forever. So thank you for this teaching. Be with us as we go. Empower us, I pray, Holy Spirit. Prompt us to share Christ, to say the one sentence to people, the Lord, that I fight with, the one sentence that, are you sure of where you're going to spend an eternity? And do you have a relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, I said this statement to you in this prayer. Please enable me and others to say that statement as we go from this room to others. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. All right, online. We'll see y'all later. God bless. It's about time for you guys to return back home here. All right.